If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me tonight to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been looking for a long time at the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the Spirit-filled life. We're going to wrap up that study by looking tonight at Spirit-filled work. Now, I grew up going to Baptist churches for most of my childhood, and I can't tell you if I ever heard one sermon on how a Christian man or Christian lady was to act or behave in the workplace. I heard a lot of sermons about how a pastor was supposed to act and how missionaries were supposed to act and Christian school teachers were supposed to act, but I'm not sure I ever heard even one sermon about how a layman or a laywoman was supposed to act in the workplace. And of course, the thing that a person might take away from that is that maybe God is unconcerned with what a Christian does from 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. And folks, that's just absolutely not true. I want to say to you tonight, your work matters to God. Your work matters to God. Human beings were created to worship, to relate, and to work. Work's important. In Genesis, Adam was called to work before the curse. The Bible is filled with parables and proverbs and principles about work. You can't hardly turn a page in the Bible without learning something about how you're supposed to work. Contrary to some people's belief, we will not spend eternity floating on clouds in one long worship service. Did you know the vast majority of eternity won't even be spent in heaven? It'll be spent on new earth, where we will work in resurrected bodies in a curse-free environment. Work was our past, work is our present, work will be our future. Whether you are a mechanic or a housewife or a CEO, God cares just as much about your Monday as he does your Sunday. Your work matters to God. But let me say to you tonight, God matters to your work. See, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll work differently than people who don't know God. The Christian works with higher motives, greater accountability, a better power source, and richer rewards than anybody else in the world. If you're filled with the Spirit, your boss, your co-workers, and your customers will know it. How could you carry God to work with you every day and people not know it? So your work matters to God. God matters to your work. He'll make a difference in your 9 to 5. Well, let's read Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin reading tonight in verse 5. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Verses 5 through 8 are about the Spirit-filled employee. Verse 9 is about the Spirit-filled employer. So let's look first of all this evening about the Spirit-filled employee. Now, typically when I study a passage, the best way to break it down is by looking at the verbs. That's a Bible study secret. The verbs usually tell the story for any passage. In this case, the first three verbs are pretty straightforward. Servants are to be obedient, to do, and to do service. Now, the last verb is a little more instructive. It basically says servants are to know that they will receive an eternal reward for their work. So the verbs basically say, workers work, do your job. It's just very straightforward. The real thrust of this passage is not so much about what a worker is supposed to do. He's supposed to work. And by the way, when you go to work, you ought to work. Amen. But rather, how he or she is supposed to do it. If you are a plumber, plumb. If you are a driver, drive. If you are a teacher, teach. If you're a homemaker, make the home. But this passage tells you how to do that in a Spirit-filled way. I notice in the first place, Spirit-filled work is respectful work. He says in verse 5, servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Now, we see here that the direct reference is to the relationship between a slave. The word servant means doulos. It's a slave. The relationship between slave and master. Now, that's very uncommon to us. We don't have slavery in our culture, but it was only natural in Paul's time because there were some 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire when Paul wrote this letter. Slaves made up as much as one third of the population of Ephesus. Many of the Christians in the church of Ephesus were slaves. Some were even slaveholders, probably. Paul makes it clear, though, in verse 8, that the principles in this passage are not just for slaves and masters, but for anyone. It says at the end of verse 8, whether he be bond or free. So I think we can very clearly make an application tonight to employees and employers. He says in verse 5 that we are to be obedient to our employers. This is simple tonight, but we should work hard. When we go to work, we should make the most of our time. We should have a good attitude towards our bosses to their faces and behind their backs. Let me ask you a personal question tonight. How do you treat your boss? Do you respect your boss? Paul says our attitude towards our bosses is to be one of fear and trembling. Now, does that mean that we should be afraid when we go to work every day, that we should shake in our boots when our bosses come around, that we should cower to people? That's not what Paul's saying. These are words that show holy concern and respect. These are the same words used to our relationship with God and to the way that Paul even dealt with his job of preaching the gospel. He preached it with fear and trembling. We recognize that God has ordained our bosses as our authority, so we have an attitude of respect to them. Even if my boss is a jerk, God has allowed him or her to be over me. And if I disrespect them, I will damage my fellowship with God and I will quench the Holy Spirit. Respect your boss. In fact, did you know that non-believers and the people you work with are watching the way you treat your boss? The way you treat your boss is either a testimony or it's a turnoff. Listen to 1 Timothy 6 and 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. In other words, Paul was encouraging Timothy to speak to the people who were under him, to remind him that non-believers were saying some terrible things about Christ because of the way the servants were talking about their bosses. Paul is saying, don't join in with that bloodthirsty mob in your office that commits character assassination on your boss when he leaves the room. You say, well, if I don't join in, they'll think I'm a suck-up. Or I'm just trying to get a promotion. Listen, they might think that initially, but if you'll show up and work hard when the boss is around and when he's not around and treat everyone, including the boss, with respect, they'll come to see respect as just a part of your character and they'll respect you in the long run. You don't have to join in with that crowd who's always tearing the boss down. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. My boss is a real jerk. Every once in a while we get some of those, don't we? Peter spoke about that. He said, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle. It's easy to be nice to a boss who's nice to you, but also to the thwart, to the unjust, to those who treat you unfairly. If you've ever gone to work in a toxic work environment, you know it's no fun. But let me tell you, that's where faith in Christ will really shine. That's where our faith can really make a difference. When everyone else is negative about your boss, you be positive. When they're angry, you be joyful. When they're slacking off, you work hard. Disrespect turns people off to the gospel, but respect will earn a testimony and give you an opportunity to share the gospel. Amen. I remember the summer after I graduated from college, I worked a job at Papa John's Pizza in my hometown. Anybody ever worked at a pizza joint before? You know, you can make some pretty good money getting tips. Well, when I got to the place, I discovered very quickly everybody there was miserable. They were all on drugs, each and every one of them. It's one of the few industries you can be in without getting a drug test. They were all relying on cash as part of the tips-based economy there. They had late night hours, so they were tired, hungover, and miserable all the time. Well, I signed up to be a delivery guy. And if you sign up to deliver, tips are the big deal. You don't make any money by being in the restaurant. You want to get out and you want to deliver the pizzas. Well, after about a week, my manager figured out that I would do whatever he asked me to do. So he started scheduling me to work mornings. All the prep work in a pizza restaurant is done in the morning. He would try to schedule other drivers, but they wouldn't come in. I was the only one that summer who'd come in at 10 a.m. I came and I chopped all the onions and all the bell peppers and got everything ready for folks to make pizzas later in the day. I tried to have a good attitude about it. I showed up every time he scheduled me. I was a little worried I wasn't going to make the money that I needed to get married, but it just so happened about every day I'd get a big delivery and I'd have some ticks come in and God would work it out. Now, it's interesting. I only worked there 2 months and I didn't have a lot of time to witness. While I was there, I was typically working hard. I wasn't hanging out when I wasn't on the clock. But did you know, a couple of my coworkers came to church with me that summer. And I honestly think it all boils down to the way I worked. I wasn't doing a lot of preaching. It was just the way I worked. Titus 2 says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again or talking back, not purloining or stealing, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn or beautify the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Listen to me, Christian employee. We got to get this message tonight. The way we treat our bosses either blasphemes the gospel or beautifies it. We go to work with holy fear and trembling because we understand that God's name, God's message, God's gospel, God's word is on the line because we call ourselves by the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit-filled work is respectful work. I notice in the second place, spirit-filled work is focused work. He says that we are to work at the end of verse 5 in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. That just simply means put your heart into it. Be focused. Go to work on purpose and do purposeful work while you're there. Let me ask you tonight, are you all there when you go to work in the morning? Did you know that distracted workers cost companies, American companies, billions of dollars every year? Career Builder surveyed over 2,000 HR professionals and employers about distracted work. They shared the following real-life examples of what some employees were caught doing when they were supposed to be working. One employee was caring for her pet bird that she had smuggled into work. One sleeping employee claimed that he was praying. I have some church members who have that problem. Several employees were caught having a wrestling match in the break room. One employee was caught warming her bare feet under the hand dryer in the restroom. Can you imagine how much work some people could get done if they would put as much effort into working as they do in thinking of ways not to work? Right. You know, folks, being half-hearted is only being half alive. Right. If you waste your 9 to 5, you will arrive at the judgment seat to discover that you have wasted most of your life. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Martyred missionary Jim Elliot said, wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. When you go to work in the morning, be all there. Pour your heart in it. Do your spirit-filled best. Have a single heart. Now, the key to that kind of work is found at the end of the verse. He says, have a single heart as to the Lord. He says something similar in verse 6 when he says, when we work hard, we are doing the will of God from the heart. Listen, this is so important. Don't miss this tonight. This is the motivation for why we work the way we work. It's not so much necessarily that we enjoy the job that we're doing, not so much that we enjoy the environment that we're doing in it. We are motivated to work hard and do our best because we serve Jesus Christ when we go to work. Amen. We're doing more than serving our bosses, more than serving customers. We're serving Christ. Do your work for the Lord. Do it to the Lord. Amen. Commentator John Stott said this, it is possible for a housewife to cook a meal as if Jesus Christ were going to eat it, or spring clean the house as if Jesus Christ were to be the honored guest. It's possible for teachers to educate children, for doctors to treat patients and nurses to care for them, for lawyers to help clients, shop assistants to serve customers, accountants to audit books, and secretaries to answer phones as if in each case they were serving Jesus Christ. Whatever it is you do, do it for the Lord. If you work at Whataburger, would you want Jesus to eat an undercooked Whataburger? Contractor, would you want Jesus to live in a shoddy house or work in a shoddy office? We need to view every task as if Jesus himself gave it to us and as if he were the one benefiting or profiting from what we were doing. do your best because you're doing it for the Lord. I notice in the third place, Spirit-filled work is consistent work. He says in verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. I'm glad to know the workplace hadn't changed that much in 2,000 years. What does this mean, Pastor Gillett? Well, have you ever seen a gym class running laps? If you have, you understand this. When the PE teacher is paying attention, they'll keep up the pace all right. But if he turns his head or, heaven forbids, leaves the gym for even a moment, you've never seen such loafing in your life. And some of you can relate with that. When I was growing up, I had a lot of energy, believe it or not. And all my teachers wanted to put me on Ritalin, so my parents did the next best thing. They got me a job. Starting at age 13, I worked after school and every summer for a landscaper in our church. And it was hard work. We did a lot of ditch digging and a lot of grass cutting, and the summers in West Texas are just sweltering. Well, one summer, and I worked for this guy several summers, my boss hired a guy named Rico. Rico must have been about 55 years old, and he was severely overweight. He was an expert at working with eye service. When the boss was around and it was time to dig ditches, you have never seen a shovel move as fast as Rico could move that shovel. It was really incredible. But anytime my boss would go in the backyard or if he would leave the job, Rico would find the nearest shade tree and take himself a little nap. And it always infuriated me because when my boss came back, here's Rico working his shovel, and my boss would tell me, you need to work like Rico. That's how men work. What Paul's saying is don't work hard only when the boss is around and then loaf when the boss is gone. When you are spirit-filled and you go to work for God, you know your real boss never leaves the room. Amen. He never goes on vacation and he never stops watching. Right. Work consistently. Someone has said that excellence is not an act, it's a habit. We are what we continually do. Most of us will have a few really great days in our careers. Most of us will have a few pretty bad days in our careers, but the real story is what we do with every other day. Consistency is key. I noticed fourthly this evening, spirit-filled work is pleasant work. Look at what it says in verse 7. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Probably the best way for us to explain goodwill is just to say a good attitude. The idea here is to go about our work with a cheerful and pleasant disposition. Can I say it this way? Have a Chick-fil-A attitude, not a McDonald's attitude. Just recently, I was going through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Okay, it was this morning, I'll admit. And I made my order there, and they had the automated video board, and a little message flashed up after I gave my order that said, contactless payments preferred. Have you seen that? How many of you have phones where you can just take your phone out, push a button, and pay with your cell phone? Well, that's what I was getting ready to do. They have these little sticks, and they'll put the credit card holder on the end, and they'll stick it out, and you put your phone out there, and you tap it, and they don't have to touch your card or worry about your COVID germs or whatever it might be. So I pulled up to that first drive-through window, and I was ready to do my contactless payment. She announced, it'll be $5.45, sir, and I took out my phone and held it out. Now, I thought just the act of holding out my phone would be enough information to tell her that I wanted to do contactless payment. But she looked at me, and she asked a question. She said, Apple Pay? Well, she had her mask on. It is so hard to understand people in their mask. I thought she said, Apple Pie? I thought she was upselling me. So I said, no. So I'm sitting there holding out my phone. She's looking at me like, what in the world are you doing? You're not reaching in your car to get my money. She asked again, Apple Pay? Again, I thought she said Apple Pie. I think this lady is persistent. No, I don't want an Apple Pie. Finally, she raised her voice, sighed. I had just cost her 15 precious seconds. And she said, Apple Pay. And I said, I got it now. Yes, Apple Pay. And I clicked and went to the next window, okay? You know, that's not how it is when you go to Chick-fil-A. Welcome to Chick-fil-A. How may I serve you today? Oh, would you like some condiments with your order? They never forget to ask about those sauces. And when you say thank you, they say what? My pleasure. And when you pull up to that drive-through line, they're wearing their mask, but you can tell just by their eyes, they're smiling. Like, I don't know, they're grateful to have a job. They make me feel like $1 million just for ordering a piece of fried chicken. Now, Chick-fil-A, I know not everybody who works there is a Christian, but they were founded by Christians. And they started within their company a culture where people are glad to serve other people and glad to have a job. And let me tell you something, that's the way it ought to be when a Christian goes to work. Amen. We ought to smile. We ought to radiate the love of the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit ought to come out as we are interacting with our coworkers, with our bosses, and with our customers. Daniel chapter 6 says that Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Can I tell you, folks, your disposition at work is much more important than your position at work. And who knows, maybe if you got a better disposition, you'd get a better position like Daniel did. Pharaoh had only been in the presence of Joseph for a few minutes. When he made Joseph the prime minister of Egypt, the reason? Attitude. He said, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. It was Joseph's attitude, his wisdom, his discretion. It was proof positive that God was in him. And let me say to you folks, a cheerful, positive, grateful attitude is one of the best proofs that the Spirit of God lives in you. How's your attitude at work? How do you speak to your coworkers? How do you answer the phones? How do you deal with interruptions in your schedule or demanding customers? Spirit-filled workers are pleasant. Now, verse 9 gives us the motivation for working. It says, and ye masters, do the same things unto them for bearing... Verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. What's that verse saying? God's going to reward you for the way you work. Most Christians know that God will reward their work in ministry. You know he's going to reward your work for teaching that Sunday school class or working that bus route or singing in the choir or leading a soul to Christ. And all of those things, praise the Lord, will be richly rewarded. But this verse says something that many Christians overlook. Every good thing you do, not just the things you do at church, but every good thing you do is noticed by God and will be rewarded by God. You know, Mom, you probably didn't get a raise in pay for taking care of that newborn baby getting up in the middle of the night. But if you did it for the Lord and as an act of worship to the Lord, He noticed it, He'll reward you. Worker, you may have put in extra time for a project at work. You really sacrificed and did your best. It was excellent work. Your boss never even said thank you. God saw, and God will reward it. Amen. Sometimes it seems like the way to get ahead in the here and now is to cut a few corners or step on a few people on the way to the top. If you do that, you'll be trading earthly rewards for heavenly rewards. And I tell you, there is no compensation package, retirement plan, or bonus that can match the rewards that God gives out. You say, I work so hard and nobody notices and nobody cares. God notices, God cares, and God will reward you when you do your best for Him. Spirit-filled employee, be encouraged and live like a Spirit-filled Christian at work. All right, we've been talking to labor. Let's talk for just a moment to management. Look at verse 9, the Spirit-filled employer. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. Notice that. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. This has been called the managerial golden rule. It means that Christian bosses are to treat their employees the way that they want to be treated. Paul is basically saying all the same things that I've just said to employees also applies to employers. Boss, you want your employees to be respectful? then you need to respect your employees and be respectable, Paul says. You want your employees to work wholeheartedly and consistently? Then don't use your position and authority to slough off work to those under you or cut loose to play golf when you won't let your employees do that. Do the same things you're asking your employees to do. Colossians 4:1 says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." This is radical. In other words, don't underpay your employees. Don't value profits above people. Don't cheat your employees out of a living wage if your company can afford to pay them a living wage. I'm telling you, God holds Christian employers to a higher standard. Then he says in verse 9, look at the next phrase, forbearing, threatening. How many of you have ever been threatened by your boss? Sure you have been. He's saying don't speak rough to your employees. It's always amazed me how some people can be so kind and gentle at church. And then a church member goes to work for them. And you find out later they're a foul-mouthed bully on the work site. Someone might say, I know the solution to that. Don't hire church members. Well, how about both the boss and the employee just act like Christians at work? That sounds like a good plan to me. If you've ever been in sports, you've had a coach who thought the best way to motivate you was to cuss you or jump down your throat every time you did something wrong. Let me just tell you, in the long run, that motivation style doesn't work. People tune you out. As Christians, we should have a better motivation style. We don't motivate people with anger and threats. We motivate people with love and hope and grace and the goodness of God. He gives a stern warning at the end of verse 9. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Oh, please don't miss this. You may be the CEO where you work, but you're going to answer to a higher authority. Every boss has a boss. He's not a respecter of persons. He's not impressed with corner offices or fancy titles. Your performance evaluation will take place when you stand before the God who made you and allowed you to have the position that you have. And if you mistreat the people who are under you, God will not be happy about it, and he will hold you to account. And every manager, every boss, every business owner needs to take carefully the warning given to us in Ephesians 6, verse 9. If you're a boss here tonight, as you think of what kind of boss you want to be, do what Paul said. Think about your master in heaven. What kind of master do you have? A good and gracious master. And you ought to be the kind of boss that Jesus would be if he was in your position. That's the goal. Let's wrap it up tonight. You've listened so well. Let me ask you, are you a spirit-filled Christian at work? Is your attitude and work ethic in the workplace a testimony drawing others to Christ, or is it a turnoff? May it be true that people would look at us like the king looked at Daniel and see an excellent spirit in us. Whether you are an employer or an employee, let's go to work and do more than punch a clock or earn a check. Let's do excellent work. Let's worship while we work. Let's do it for the Lord. And let's trust he's going to reward us in the long run. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for passages like this that remind us how your people are to be and how we are to act in the 9-to-5 nitty-gritty of our daily lives. I'm glad that you didn't leave sections about how to act at work out of your Bible. And I'm glad that you have empowered us with your Holy Spirit so we can be your representatives in the workplace. Help each of us to have a loftier view of work, to view our workplace as more than a place to get a paycheck, but as a place to worship and glorify you and live for you and be a testimony. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.